So we got a bit of a civics lesson from our friends across the pond this week. Great Britain, a center-left political party, the Liberal Democrats, is kind of the power broker in their parliamentary system, which created the first coalition government in Britain in 70 years. That means the Conservatives, David Cameron's Conservative Party, rules with the Liberal Democrats as a junior coalition partner. Well, we don't have a parliamentary system here in the U.S., but a new NBC Wall Street Journal poll suggests that many people wouldn't object to a third party in the United States. 80% of Americans see problems with the two-party system. Nearly one-third of Americans say a third party might be the answer. But what would the party be? It would just be the I want a third party party. Would it have any more coherence than that? And what's the tradition of third parties in the United States? Mika Sifri, co-founder of the Personal Democracy Forum and author of Spoiling for a Fight, Third-Party Politics in America, longtime writer for The Nation and other publications. Good morning, Mika.
Morning, John.
So do you get intrigued by this idea of a third party when poll numbers like this come out, or do you get, like me, sort of disappointed that this is always talked about, but it's never going to amount to anything?
Well, the frustrating thing is that the American two-party system, has, thanks to the Supreme Court, has been entrenched artificially. And so if the public wants a third party that's a major third party that can compete the way the Liberal Democrats were competing in British politics, it's almost impossible to get one. And, you know, that. So I'm not disappointed so much as aghast at what it does to accountable politics in America.
Well, let's talk about the atmospherics of third-party movements down through at least contemporary history. Mm-hmm. You remember the name of Ross Perot, right?
Sure.
I mean, his third-party movement, call it his sort of appearance on the scene during the election that eventually resulted in Bill Clinton getting elected, really transformed that campaign. Here's what he said on his very first appearance on Larry King Live.
Where? The owners of this country. We don't act like the owners. We act like white rabbits that get programmed by messages coming out of Washington. We own this place.
We own this place and we want to take it back. Mm-hmm. That's a common third party sentiment, even today.
Yeah, if anything, the Tea Party movement is the Perot movement without Perot, without any single leader. And in some ways, it's powered by the internet, giving voice to all kinds of different elements in America that have been frustrated with how politics in Washington works. This is nothing new.
And indeed, Perot was succeeded by Jesse Ventura, who was once a wrestler, then became Minnesota governor. Listen to him here talking about a third-party movement and also selling books, as these folks like to do.
We're losing our rights because of the Patriot Act. I would rather, and as I say in my book, and I'm so crass to say, give me liberty or give me death.
I'm with you.
I would rather take my chances with terrorism than to lose my individual rights, which are vanishing every day.
Is this just angst looking for a home, or is it coherent political philosophy trying to form into some sort of party?
Well, I actually think that Jesse Ventura does have a coherent political philosophy, and it's sort of soft libertarianism. And if he were serious about organizing a political movement around his ideas rather than mostly promoting himself and selling books, that he might well be able to do something. I think he's veered off into the fringe lately. I believe he's begun to ask questions about 9/11 that most people think are ridiculous. But you're raising a really important point. It's very, very hard to build a successful third party in America. There's only been one. It's called the Republican Party.
That's great. They replaced the Whigs that went out of business, and
that's
then
right.
That
and
was the end
the
of that.
The things that allowed Abraham Lincoln's Republican Party to become a major party are no longer allowed in American politics today. It's become, you know, our political system is highly regulated by a duopoly, the Democrats and Republicans, who rig the process, ballot access, campaign finance, media access, in all sorts of ways to advantage themselves and make it very, very tough for anybody to do anything other than something very fringe that only appeals to a tiny number of people who are very ideologically motivated.
Well, Mika Sifri, we've been getting a sense of the frustration from that sort of game rigging that you describe in the two-party system. Listen to one of our listeners from Astoria right here in New York doing the math on what might make a legitimate third-party coalition.
That would be great if we could have a libertarian and green coalition. I think that would combine what a lot of people feel as a fiscally conservative and socially liberal outtake. Maybe they could just take care of civil liberties, the environment, and just leave us to, you know, pursue our dream of happiness.
Is that legitimate? And I should point out we're getting a huge response among listeners trying to solve this very sort of problem with their own configuration of a third party. Mika?
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, there's plenty of room on the political map for new forms of you know, pulling together ideas, and a libertarian green thing could work. I mean, the problem is the Democrats and the Republicans don't let competition even get onto the playing field in a serious way.
Well, listen to Ralph Nader speaking. Actually, during the 2008 campaign, he was asked by Tabitha Soren, I believe, about the third party movement and its viability.
When will a big third party come?
Yes.
When a multi-billionaire who's liberal comes into the arena and breaks up the two-party control?
Legit?
Well, he has a point, which is that, you know, you need a lot of money to be heard in America still. The internet has changed that some. But, you know, I think Ralph is right that is one way. You know, Perot had a shortcut. His billions of dollars made him instantly credible, and his ability to get on television gave him a platform to reach people, and his use of an 800 number enabled him to mobilize people to get him on the ballot. So, you know, the ingredients are sitting there, and this new Wall Street Journal poll that shows a third of the country is interested, the dry tinder has always been lying around. It's just very, very hard to put the ingredients together in a way that it combusts.
Well, and we're seeing a lot of it. The one and out party, Steve from Brooklyn, goes to our website and names a new party. The party would be called the Big Middle, according to Charlie. Someone named B. Bowler says, how can you call the Tea Party the third party when the Libertarians and the Greens have successfully organized over the last 12 years? Again, we're getting huge response. That tinder is definitely out there. Mika Sifri, co-founder of Personal Democracy Forum and author of Spoiling for a Fight, Third Party Politics in America. Thanks, Mika.
Sure. Good talking with you.
Let's leave you with a voice of one of our listeners.
This is John from Jersey. Why not just call it the other party? And they have the other platform, because everybody's already saying, I wish there was an other party to vote for.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.